passionate about the game of cricket. He would enjoy nothing more than a long discussion about anything to do with cricket. When I've been thinking about him this morning, I've been thinking him about not only as the cricket broadcaster and writer, but also about Peter Roebuck, the man. Sometimes you'd be doing cricket broadcast and we'd be talking about something really interesting or the game would be at a pivotal point, and suddenly he would say, I wonder why the seawater's salty. What's the difference between a crocodile and an alligator? And you think, Peter, what are you thinking about? Why are you talking about those things now? But the fascinating thing was people would respond and we'd get lengthy interviews explaining why the sea is salty and what the difference is between a crocodile and an alligator. And then he'd have moved on from that, and then he would start analysing the cricket and describing what was in front of him. And he'd say something in a period of commentary, and you'd think, I wonder. And then later on in the day, what he had predicted may or may not occur would have done. Or if he suggested a field placing, when that did happen, you'd think, yes, and he's right, because now they've brought a different bowler on or they've changed the field placings and a wicket has now been taken. He was extraordinary.
Well, obviously, you've got the Test match coming up in Johannesburg, which is going to be a key for several players, I think. Like, they've really got to get out there and perform. There's a new selection committee coming in. They're going to make a fresh start, quite possibly. And it's up to the fellas to get out there and really turn this around. Teams do that sometimes. They get absolutely hammered one day. They go out the next day and get 460 at a fine a tick. I mean, we have to wait and see what happens in Johannesburg first, but you wouldn't want to mess up there.
Well, I mean, before we're overwhelmed by the tragedy of the death, I hope we recall the quality of the life and the quality of the work he was responsible for. I don't think anyone in cricket writing had a voice like Peter's when he arrived on the scene in the early 1980s. His books, his early books, Slices of Cricket and It Never Rains, are two wonderful, wonderful titles. And I think he revolutionised cricket writing in Australia when the Fairfax Press employed him in the mid-1980s. He was so fresh and so different and so off the reservation, so unpredictable, so whimsical and acerbic, that he made it easier, I think, for all the writers who came after him to take more liberties. You only have to contrast the way in which we wrote about cricket in the 1970s to the way in which we write it now. Peter's been responsible, I think, for a lot of those developments. He was an outsider, and an outsider he remained, I think, to the benefit of his writing, but perhaps in the end to his cost as a person.
Definitely one of the saddest days of my life to lose a colleague like Peter. You know, I've worked on ABC Grandstand Cricket now for 11 years. Roby was there for the whole time. Nobody analysed the game better. Nobody cut to the chase more succinctly. And nobody saw where the game was and where it was heading better than Peter Roebuck.
He walked to the beat of his own drum, and he believed in something. It didn't matter whether the rest of the world agreed with what he believed in. He was going to go with it, and he would say it loudly, and he would say it very proudly. And the thing about Peter too, though, is if he said something and you thought, oh, that was a rather an unusual comment, he would also be able to substantiate what his opinions were. So it wasn't as if he threw something out there just for the sake of being a little bit different or trying to see what sort of reaction he'd get from other people. He absolutely believed in what he said. And I was also thinking this morning specifically about Ricky Ponting and saying maybe it was time that he left and was no longer the captain of the Australian cricket team, and he mentioned about Mark Clark coming in as captain. A lot of people, as you said, disagreed with him and were really quite horrible to him because of the fact that he came out and said it with such justification. And so really anything that he said and anything that he wrote, he believed in absolutely and could justify his opinions on any issue.
How many things am I allowed to get outraged by this morning? I reckon they're too slow taking the covers off. I'll stick with that for now. But not letting Drew on the field is... they ought to want to...
No, they let him on, but they got to a point where they just wanted the chaps in the grey suits out there.
Yes, I wanted Morning Morkel to tuck his shirt in. Now, we've got a slight delay before Dale Steyn bowls.
The fact that he was just such a character and such an integral part of our coverage. And, I mean, the audience will miss him, but I think his fellow broadcasters will miss him more.
I will always remember him with an enormous amount of affection and an enormous amount of respect, and I want him to always be remembered for the man that he was, for that amazing broadcaster, writer, and also for being such an incredible philanthropist.